Now tonight will be the beginning of what I call, that is, we will teach, we will practice. If there is need for correction, we'll teach again. So there will be the main lecture, then there will be exams. That is, you write the test here. Then if there's a correction, we'll correct. Then we'll do tutorials. And then we'll keep doing that. Is that okay? So you will do something, and that is pay attention to learn. Is that okay? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel chapter 16. Hallelujah. So I said, what is, you know, somebody actually said, Chris can't meet him. I said, no, it's Charis can't meet him. Charis means freely given. Hallelujah. Is that what we're learning here? Am I talking? Is that what we're learning here? Matthew's Gospel 16. Listen now. You know, when we're young in the Sunday school, they say, God has something to say. Am I right? Listen, listen. God has something to say. He has something to say. Thank you. Matthew's Gospel 16. Remember, Jesus was talking to Simon Peter. And he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, in verse 17. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he makes the statement that we're about to examine. And I say unto you, Peter, unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In verse 19, and I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, a lot of people have been mistaught on the subject of the kingdom of heaven. It's just like the issue of John 14 that I explained earlier in the day. And I mean, if you've been listening to us in our ministry, we've been explaining that. That when Jesus talked about mansions, he was not talking about heaven at all. But you see, people's attention, you know, and that's something about wrong teaching. You see, wrong interpretation of the Bible can cost us a lot. A whole lot. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I remember in 1994, I used to teach in a denominational church. And they interpreted John 3:5, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. They said it meant water baptism. And for many years of that denomination, they were doing water baptism as the interpretation of that verse. Well, you can imagine what they lost. And the minute in their minds, they began to do water baptism to interpret John 3:5, they lost hold of the truth there, which has been born of the Spirit. So, wrong interpretation of the Bible can mean a whole lot. For example, if you look at that text of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 2:9, for as is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Some folks use that thing for just about anything. Marriage, job, traveling, visa, education, career. But that's the past tense of our lives. I said that's the past tense of our lives. Because the next verse is, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. He was referring to our rights and inheritance in Christ. So a wrong interpretation of the scriptures can cost us a lot. And let me say something. Listen very well. The fact that something has been believed for long never makes it right. The longevity of a thing does not validate it. Sin has been around for long. Is it valid? Come on, guys. Is it valid? Islam is not a god. But it's been around for over a thousand years. Doesn't make it valid. Hallelujah. So people can believe wrong for 1,000 years. The Jews still do not believe, they don't believe that Jesus is Christ. And that's been around for a long time, almost 2,000 years. Does it make it right? Come on, guys, does it make it right? In fact, some of them, I mean, they have a denomination, an organization or nick. So we must understand how to interpret the Bible. You know, some guys get offended when some of us, we stick to interpreting the Bible correctly. That's your problem. You can get offended as much as you like. We are going to preach the truth of God's word without intimidation. Hallelujah. And hear me very well. The nations of the world are going to hear the word. The word of God will take over television stations, satellite stations, the internet, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Money comes to us. Resources come to us. In the name of Jesus. The nations are waiting for us. And we are on our way. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So he says, the kingdom of heaven. Now, how is it? I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Then you know what he says next? Whatever you bind on earth. So that kingdom will function where? Will function where? Oh, come on, guys, you didn't hear me. Will function where? On earth. But there are people today struggling to get to heaven. Whereas Jesus said, I will give you all the dominion, all the resources of heaven. Now, look at that word, kingdom of heaven. I told you earlier that the word kingdom means what? Dominion. Dominion of heaven. I'll go to the explanation of heaven tomorrow, not tonight. But I want us to get a fact. Look at when Jesus, now when we say the kingdom of heaven, what are we talking about? Go to chapter 4. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What was happening with that gospel? Verse 23. He was what? Healing. What was he healing? Oh, everybody come talk to me. Healing what? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's what he was doing. Now look at chapter 10. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've heard people say, people are no longer preaching the kingdom of heaven. I said, what do you mean? That we need to get to heaven. That's not the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's the opposite. Hallelujah. That's the opposite. Now look at it. Matthew 10. Jesus sent his disciples. Have you seen people preach? You know, you can be very zealous, and your zeal would be better if you were quiet. You can be very zealous. Some guys wake up in the morning, they will have the bell. Maga, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In their mind, what they are saying is, the rapture is about to begin. Am I right? Maga, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That Jesus, next year, Jesus is coming soon. But wait, when Jesus sent his disciples to preach this, he was here. So where did you get that idea from? He was here. In fact, look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. He says, and you go, preach, verse 7. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the word is at hand, what does it mean? It is here. Hallelujah. At hand. At hand means it is near. It is here. Jesus came, and then the kingdom came. Hallelujah. So he said, repent. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does he tell them to do? He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Do you know why that makes sense? What does kingdom mean? Which is authority. Now, if you say the kingdom is here, you must use the authority. Come on. Are you following what I'm saying? He says, the kingdom is here. If I say the kingdom is here, then I'll heal the sick. Then I'll raise the dead. Then I'll cast out devils. Hallelujah. No, in other words, the kingdom of heaven here is not a place. The kingdom of heaven is a dominion, is referring to authority. Now wait. He said, heal the sick. Go to chapter 12. Go to chapter 12. What did Jesus say to Peter? I will give you what? The resources of the kingdom of heaven. Are we correct? Come on guys, are we correct? Please pay attention now. Look at verse 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, verse 28. Can we read it together? Let's go. Everybody? But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, that means the kingdom of God has come to you. Hallelujah. Have you ever said, Ijabaru le reoni gbagbo? You are confused. That means the kingdom of God is the reward of the believer. Can't you hear this? Even Judas is carrot. I call him his carrot. Judas. You know, Judas also went around to say the kingdom is here. And he healed the sick. Judas. And you are saying, something Judas had. Thomas. Thomas. Matthew the tax collector. How much more the man who is born of the Spirit of God. So hold on 1 minute. He says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come to you. Glory to God. Look at Luke's Gospel 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, even look at how the Pharisees spoke. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, what did they ask him? When the kingdom of God should come. It wasn't a place people were planning to go. It was what they were expecting in the earth. They asked him, when will the kingdom come? Then he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That word observation is an old Greek word, parakeresis. P-A-R-A-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. P-A-R-A-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. It means something that is visible to the eye. That is, the kingdom of God will not come the way Can somebody bring that chair? Bring that chair. I'm just going to try. You know, they brought that chair to me. I said, oh, the chair is here. Right? Oh, that's the chair. Now take it back. Imagine if he tells me that the chair is here. And I say, where? He says, it's there. And I say, where? I'm asking him because I cannot see any chair. But you see, the language of the Holy Ghost, the language of Jesus said, you don't see the kingdom the way I just saw that chair. Are you there? It doesn't come by parateresis. It doesn't come by what you can look at like this. In fact, the word parateresis is used for investigations. When you do scientific research, say, we found out that the kingdom of God is, you know, just like people are seeing the rapture all over the place. Is that a baby was born? He had 6 inches on his left hand. One had Bible. He was born with Bible. Then people bought their own. That was born with Quran. You see what I'm saying? If you go to the realm of the senses, the devil will defeat you there. He brought Quran. So what? One said he had roses. The other one now had Tesbih. You see what I'm saying? Some guys say they saw a horse in the cloud. Say, he's coming soon. Hi. He has gone since. Hallelujah. Now watch this. He said, you don't see the kingdom by careful observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, bad translation. The kingdom of God is not inside them. That word within, is the word amongst you. Amongst you. Now, why did Jesus say the kingdom is amongst you? Because he was there. Hallelujah. Because he was there. So he said the kingdom is amongst you. The kingdom is within you. It's around you. And he says you don't know it by careful observation. Because they're looking at it. Where is the kingdom? Who is this person? This boy? Who is this man? Let me quickly say this. If you are a minister of the gospel, never despise the age of people. Never. I share the story a lot. 22 years ago, as a young man, very young boy, not man. I was not a man, I was in the university. Hear about that, yeah. And we were in a conference of very elderly ministers. I sneaked into that conference because I was not supposed to be there. A man by the name of Ross Tatrol, a missionary apostle, he has passed on to glory. He picked me out of the crowd. Not a crowd, really, just a set of people. And he began to prophesy. He prophesied into my life. He prophesied. And I recall, as he was talking to me, he said, man of God. And I'm wondering, he's calling me man of God. And whatever he said 22 years ago is coming to pass. He never despised my age. I was never going to remain young forever. So don't make the mistake. And there are pastors who are hungry for money. So they go for executives, those who have money. And then they despise those who are young that should be trained by the Holy Ghost. Because they need money to have buildings and, you know, things like that. You must not do that. Paul got to Timothy's town and he took a teenager to be his associate. And the guy was walking with all over the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Never should you treat the gospel of Christ like a business empire. Jesus Christ, are you hearing me? Jesus Christ was in the temple at age 12. And he was able to study the scriptures and give intelligent answers about the word of God. So it's out of place to say, well, it's a young people, young people now. So let's have some disco. Disco. Is that a disco? Disco. Hip hop rave. Jesus, Jesus, hip hop, pray, you know. It's for young people. You are wrong. You need to be prayed for. Young people should be trained by the Spirit. They should be made to pray, to study the Word of God, to reach the lost, and to answer the call of God upon their lives. I'm grateful for that man. He picked me out, and he prophesied. I remember the same year, I went for a conference. Not a conference, a Bible study on a Wednesday in Ibadan, at Ibadan. And Reverend Victor Adeyemi, the pastor today of Global Harvest Church, there wasn't Global Harvest Church then. He called out people that he believed. He said, if you believe you have the ministry to teach, if you're a teacher, you come out now. Then I didn't imagine I was going to teach. Never thought so. So he's speaking. Then I was in the audience. He had called out people. Then he stopped. Said, young man, you. I was wearing black, just like tonight. But I was a white shirt, a black shirt, and a black pair of trousers. He said, come, you. Then he laid hands. Said, from the day, the gift to teach the word of God will become manifest in your life. 22 years ago. It's important you don't despise people. How do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're sent to preach in secondary schools, don't go there and be telling them David Stone Goliath. Do you know David Stone Goliath? He's Stone Goliath. Spell Goliath. You are not serious. Hallelujah. I don't know why I said that. By the Holy Ghost. It will bless somebody. Hallelujah. Then let's go. So he said the kingdom is among you. So the kingdom of God is not a place. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's not a place. In John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 3, a man came to Jesus. His name is Nicodemus. Nico, a ruler of the Jews. He said, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these miracles except God be with him. Nicodemus looked at him. Jesus looked at Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Nicodemus said, well, master, I know, but I'm already old. How would I go back to my mother's womb the second time to be born? He spoke like many people would. He said, no. Except a man is born of the water, referring to the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now, why did he say that? Because Nicodemus did not know who he was. Say, you are a teacher, come from God. Then Jesus said, you cannot know except you are born of the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, must be born again. The wind blows where it list. You hear the sound, but you don't know whence it's coming from or where it's going from. Such is everyone that is born of what? The Spirit. Then he begins to explain to Nicodemus, I am not a teacher come from God. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's telling Nico, Nico, I am a sacrifice for sin. Not a teacher come from God. Nico is trying to say, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Nico, I am God's son. I'm not a teacher come from God. Nicodemus just look. Rema. That's Rema. You don't get it. Jesus said, if a man is born of the Spirit, he enters into the kingdom. In other words, wait for this. Revelation belongs to those who are born of the Spirit. Revelation belongs to those who are born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. Revelation belongs to me. Come on, revelation belongs to me. So have we observed that the kingdom of God is a spiritual reality? Can you see it now? Who can see that? Come on. If you can see that. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual reality. Let me tell you if you can see that. Can you see that? Come on, can you see that? Jesus said it. He said you have to be born of the Spirit to enter. You have to be born of the Spirit to see it. Because the kingdom of God does not come by observation. He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom is around you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Notice Jesus' parables. All the parables Jesus gave about the kingdom of heaven is not about going to heaven forever. It explained the activities of a spiritual reality using natural terms. Activities. Because the kingdom of God does not come by careful observation. The kingdom of God is not parable of the talent. The kingdom of God is not about investment. It's not about agriculture. People say, well, Jesus was a master of subjects. He was teaching agriculture. How? He only used agriculture as an illustration. He was not in an agri class. When we're talking about the parable of the talent, that was not an entrepreneurship class. Just like saying that, when Paul used the parable, talking about the human body, to talk about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, was it in anatomy? And physiology? No. Stop talking like a Bible illiterate. This was an illustration. I don't think anybody who is a business management PhD holder will sit down when Jesus was talking about the parable of the talents and he's taking notes. Really? Remember one time, Yonggi Cho told this story. He said, he used to preach a lot of philosophy in his services. Philosophy. And the people like that, he would just take one philosophical quote. If you don't make it happen, it will not happen for you. Your sight is your light. Your light is your might. And then where you have the might, you'll be right. So, there was one woman whose husband had been against coming to church. The woman now begged and begged and begged and brought the husband to church. So, Pastor Cho just began to speak his normal philosophy. So after the service, the man walked up to him. The woman said, well, that's my husband that I have been praying to God to bring to church. Ah, good. How are you, sir? So I'm fine. Now ask the man. That's Pastor Cho asked the man. I said, how was the service? He said, I had a very horrible time. Ah, he said, why? He said, you are trying to preach philosophy. I am a professor of philosophy. You did a very bad job. He said, Pastor, stay with your Bible. Let us stay with our own philosophy. That's prophetic. Like, Pastor, stay with your Bible. Let the entrepreneurs stay with their entrepreneurship. Hallelujah. Imagine Paul's service, when you all come together, and somebody has entrepreneurship teaching. Another person how to cook. Another person how to dress. Let all things be done unto confusion. Hallelujah. Now some guys don't like this. I apologize without repentance. Now look at this. So the kingdom is spiritual. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus explains his kingdom. He's talking to his persecutors, particularly here. He's talking to Pilate. John 18, 36. Can we read it together? Come on. John, I'll wait for you. John 18, 36. My kingdom, can we go? Let's go. My kingdom is not of this world. One more time, let's go. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. It's not the same way people have a kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is by the Spirit. By the Holy Ghost. So, when he told, pay attention now. When he said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He was referring to spiritual realities. The keys of the kingdom. Because we just read, he says, when you see the Holy Ghost. Now, in the four Gospels, if you see the Holy Ghost working, what is that? What is that? That's the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God refers to operations and demonstrations of the Spirit of God. That's what it is. Because Jesus never, pay attention now, he never began to preach the gospel until the Holy Ghost came on him. In Luke's Gospel 4:18, he said, now the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Alright? Come on guys, alright? So the Spirit of God came on him, then he began to preach. So when he said, the kingdom is here, he's referring to the workings of the Spirit of God. So, the kingdom of God is referring or refers to the operations, the workings of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, be the kingdom of God. Oh, come on. Say, the kingdom of heaven refers to the workings, operations of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Very good. So, he's referring to resources. So when he said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, he's referring to resources in the Spirit. Resources in the Holy Ghost. Are you following this? Are you following this? Resources in the Holy Ghost. Now earlier on, I said to you, that before Jesus died, there was righteousness. Is that true? We said Abraham was declared righteous. Genesis 15:6. But notice, he was declared righteous. He was accounted unto him for righteousness. Go to Romans. Just going to quickly explain and run out of that. Romans chapter 4. The Bible says about Abraham, verse 3, Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That word accounted was used about 8 times in Romans 4. It's the word logizomai, to reckon, to put in somewhere for you. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And the Bible says the same thing happened to us. Verse 22, Romans 4. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was not written for his sake alone. It was imputed to him for us also, to whom it was to be, or shall be imputed, if we believe on him, verse 24, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. Pay attention here now. Now, that's what Abraham had. Righteousness in an account. In other words, that's the reason why he never ascended to heaven. Because it was righteousness imputed for him, reckoned to his account. Now we have that too, by faith. As we believe the gospel, we have righteousness imputed to our account because we believe exactly what Abraham believed. But you see, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we're not just declared righteous, we are made righteous by nature. Are you getting that? So that's why Romans 6 now extends the revelation further. He says, we now walk in the newness of life. The newness of life. As Jesus was raised from the dead, we now walk in the newness of life. Romans 6. Verse 4. So, righteousness is now life to us. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. Hear this. He's now life to us. That's why he told the Corinthian church. He said, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Some guys wanted to argue that one day. He said, the word sin, there is sin offering. I said, good. I agree with you. He made him to be what? Sin offering for us. So concluded, who knew no sin offering? He said, no, let's know. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. What have we become? The righteousness of God in him. So righteousness is not just what we have by faith. Righteousness is our spirit. That is, we are the righteousness of God. Abraham never had that. David never had that. Righteousness as a nature can only be imparted to you by the Spirit. So we are righteous by nature. Say, I am righteous by nature. Righteous means that you have not committed wrong and you are not guilty. That means naturally I have a not guilty nature. A nature that cannot be at fault. Hallelujah. Come on, I'll take that one time. I said, I have a nature that cannot be at fault. Oh, I'm thinking what? He decided. I said, I have a nature that cannot go wrong. Come on. I said, I have a nature that cannot go wrong. I have a faultless nature. Hallelujah. That means, why is it like that? Because God gave us his own spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24. Say, put on the new man. Oh, which after God. After God. The Greek says, which like God. Is created how? In righteousness and true holiness. Holiness is not dressing. Holiness is in nature. Because some folks think holiness is whether they tie something on their head or they don't wear their trousers is like on the way to Hades, you know, just very long. They say, holiness. If that's holiness, there are some cultures in Africa that have better holiness. But holiness is not in dressing, even though we dress because we're holy, not because we don't dress because to be holy. Hallelujah. Holiness is a nature. Hallelujah. Some say, righteousness is a nature, holiness is a conduct. You are confused. Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new man which after God is created. That is a nature. Created in righteousness and in true holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So righteousness is now your nature. If we look at your spirit today, your spirit's name is called righteousness. Hallelujah. Your spirit today is called righteousness. That is, wait for this. That is the day Abraham believed God. You were sufficient to stand in gap for him. Because it was put in his account. Abraham believed God. Then you'll be put in his account. You will be put in his account. Hallelujah. Because your nature is right. Your nature can never go wrong. You can never see a fish back. It's not his nature. So our nature can never go wrong. It can never do wrong. Hallelujah. I'll take that one more time. I said our nature can never do wrong. It's an eternal nature. It's called eternal life. That is the way you are born is the way you are going to remain forever. Are you here? Are you here? Can you hear what I'm saying? Say, my nature can never go wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So those people who are praying, he said, what's that song again? Behold, he come. These are the days of Moses.
These are not the days of Moses. Stop that. Moses' days are gone. This is the day of the church. Hallelujah. These are the days of Elijah. Ah! You know not the spirit that you are of. Hallelujah. This is the day of the church. Jesus said, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father. I am in you, and you are in me. That's not Elijah. That's too far for him. If Elijah hears that, he will call down fire. That was Elijah before he got born again. Don't forget that. See, righteousness is my nature. Why? Because now righteousness is in the spirit. Glory to God. Now we have come into the kingdom. Glory to God. Because we are born again. Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom now. That is, we are in the spirit now. Say, I'm in the spirit. Say, I'm in the spirit. Remember, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Are we right? Come on, am I correct? So if you are born again, that means you are in the spirit. Say, I'm in the spirit. Paul said in Romans 8:8, you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. Said, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Say, the spirit of God dwells in me. I'm in the kingdom now. Hallelujah. So in Romans 14, verse 23, Paul was writing to the Roman church. And he said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. Now wait, that means righteousness and peace and joy, they are where? 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 And he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. So you are in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in you. Hallelujah. So, it says righteousness, pay attention to this, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, righteousness, is righteousness a move of the Spirit? Is peace a move of the Spirit? Move of the Spirit? No. Joy in the Holy Ghost is not a move of the Spirit. That is the kingdom of God, where we are, who we are, and what we have. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes to Ephesus, the church there. He says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What do you mean spiritual blessings? It means the blessings or the benefits of the Spirit. He begins to list them. You are chosen. You are predestined. Adopted as children. You are accepted. You are forgiven. Wisdom has abounded unto you. He says all these things are blessings of the Spirit. And he says in verse 14 and 13, he says you are now sealed with the Spirit. Hallelujah. So all these blessings are from the Spirit, or they belong to the Spirit. That's why later on in chapter 5, verse 18, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in, with songs from the Spirit. That's spiritual song. Songs from the Spirit. So we have blessings from the Spirit. We also have what? Songs from the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 11 and 12, those are the realities of the Spirit. We don't just have those things in an account. They have become a part of us. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, they are the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. You know, there was a song years back, Righteousness, Peace, Joy in the Holy Ghost. We sing it in fellowship. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Then you now turn on it. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Is that not confusion? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? No, we are in the kingdom now. Righteousness, peace, and joy are in the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? Oh, you didn't say it like you meant that. No, it's in a hanky. Water? Sand? Oh, comb. Where is the Holy Ghost? Where is the Holy Ghost? So where is righteousness? Where is peace? Where is joy? Wait. Sit down. Remember, we said the Spirit of God is our nature. So righteousness is a nature. Peace is a nature. What about joy? What about joy? What about joy? What about joy?
So is it?
It's a nature. Joy is a nature. Wait. Now sit down. So want to do teaching practice. Hallelujah. Now wait. Where's my book? Righteousness is your nature, right? Peace is your nature, right? And joy is also what? It's not a move of God. No, it's not a move of God. God has already moved in us. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully to this. It's a nature. Now, notice it says joy where? In the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told us, the kingdom of God does not come with careful observation. So joy is not a product of visible things. Now, because, listen carefully, can you teach people to rejoice? People say things like, if somebody is by the Holy Ghost, you should not teach it. The Holy Ghost should just move on you. Are you celestial? What's that? I didn't mention joy, I just said celestial, so don't misquote me. He said, just, if it's his spirit, you will not even know. You will not even know. He will just grab you like this and the spirit is moving. There was a theologian, we were talking one day, and I said, I'm a theologian too anyway, but a theologian from the other side. So he said, it's the spirit, and I asked him, I waited for him to land. I said, is patience a fruit of the spirit? He said, yes. Okay, good. I said, if you're saying if something is the spirit and the spirit does not move, it is sovereign. That means the spirit has to move before I do things. He said, yes. Good. So, if I'm impatient, it's because the spirit has not moved on me to be patient. He said, no, not like that. I said, your theology has K-leg. If it's in the spirit, it means it's in us. That means it's our nature. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Now, look at Luke's Gospel 10. What I want to do this evening, I want to teach us, many of us, how to rejoice. Some of you don't know. You know, you just... I find that I would say, glory to God, just jump through, glory, for like 30 seconds. Glory, you see that? That's a move. Glory!
You think it's just glory.
Then you sit down.
You are play acting. So wait, let me teach you. So I'll teach you, then you practice, then we'll have a great time, then we'll go home. So that from tomorrow, you do it naturally. It's not going to be a move.
Hallelujah.
In Luke's Gospel 10, verse 21, the Bible says, in that hour, a friend of mine, a very, very ridiculous, mischievous fellow, said that means the minimum was an hour. That's what he said. I don't know how hermeneutically correct that was, but it sounds good. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Now, why did they say in the Spirit? That means nothing prompted him from the outside. If they came and said, Jesus, are you aware that somebody you prayed for has been healed or you ministered to? And he said, oh, the other said, Jesus rejoiced because of the news. But they couldn't fathom what he was doing. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Now, notice this. It wasn't from his feelings. That means Jesus released joy from where? Come on, from where? From where? From where? Good. He released joy from his Spirit. There are people that, they don't know what that means. He released joy from his Spirit. From the Holy Ghost. Now, the joy is the joy of salvation. It's the same joy that is in salvation. Quickly go to 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. Hallelujah. We can actually learn how to rejoice. If we can learn how to pray, we can learn how to rejoice. 1 Peter 1. Hallelujah. No, a brother told me one time, he came for our fellowship years ago. He said, but you people call this joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. He said, but it's similar. That's why it's in the Holy Ghost. I said, I taught them. So you teach? Rejoicing in the Spirit? Ah, that's too far. I said, why not? That's why they can do it well. Hallelujah. You know, some folks, they are not taught. They say, joy in the Holy Ghost. And they say, yeah. They are not taught. You get it? Amen. So watch this. Luke's Gospel. Okay, but 1 Peter 1:18. 1:8, pardon. Are you there? Are you there? Can we read together? Whom have not seen, you love. Hallelujah. In whom though now you see him not, yet what? You what? With what? Full of glory. Now, he says, whom you believe. That is a present tense of our lives. He says, we demonstrate our belief in Christ by what? By what? By rejoicing. Joy unspeakable. Excuse me. Full of glory. Hallelujah. That means it's a joy that is filled with glory. Glory to God. So wait. How did Jesus, what does it mean to rejoice? Now, how did the disciples, how did they know he rejoiced? That means he did something. Hallelujah. What did he do? What did he do? What exactly did he do? That is, he rejoiced in the Spirit. What did he do? That word is agaleo in the Greek. Agaleo means that he leaped. He leaped. He leaped up and down in reckless abandon. It also means he made motion forward and backward. He made motion forward and backward. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a pastor. Who knows how to, who can teach us how to rejoice? Can anybody? Just watch him. Watch him. Go ahead. Do it again. One more time. You see that? That's what Jesus did. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Whatever you see me do, the Father does too.
Wait. Sit down. Learn to listen to your lecturer. What you have just done, called walking to the answer. You know, in school, if you do that, they will question you. I'm going to question you. I just asked one person to show us, and everybody went that way. I should punish you. Okay, wait. So, rejoicing means to run. Some people think it's for campus fellowship. Jesus was in a campus fellowship. Your Lord and Savior. You can see that you need deliverance. The one available somewhere else. I wanted to mention the place almost. Paul taught rejoicing. He taught it because he wanted people to learn it. You know, Peter's epistle was teaching. So, Peter is explaining to us. Now, why do you explain to people? Because you want them to practice it. The Bible says, do not be a hearer of the word only. But what? A doer. So it's not good enough to say, that's actually what Jesus did. Oh, that's great. You are like the man that beholds his natural face in the mirror, straight away goeth his way, and forgets the manner of man he was. Are you listening? Good. Now, did you notice that joy and rejoicing are common words in the Bible? They are common words. I'll give you some references quickly because of our time. Do you know that joy was the atmosphere of the incarnation? The Bible says the angels, they said joy to the world. You see that in Matthew's Gospel 2 verse 10, Luke's Gospel 2 10, Luke's Gospel 1 14, the incarnation. As soon as Elizabeth met Mary, the Bible says the babe in the womb leaped. And then she said, my spirit rejoices. Just at the sound of Christ, there's rejoicing. It's not a move. There's rejoicing at the incarnation. Pay attention now. Do you also know that joy was the atmosphere of the resurrection? Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 8. As they heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they announced it with joy. Joy. Don't forget the incarnation. Then the resurrection. Again, in the four Gospels, Jesus said, rejoice not because the demons are subject to you. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So, joy is the atmosphere of the incarnation, right? Joy
is also the atmosphere of the resurrection. Now, you read this morning that how did he act in Hades? He was full of joy. He was. Now, Jesus gave a parable in Luke's Gospel 15, verse 7 and then verse 10. He says, for everyone who receives the gospel, what happens? There's joy. In verse 7 and 10, that means joy is related with salvation. Joy demonstrates the presence of salvation. Joy is not for material things, primarily, no. Joy is a demonstration of the presence of salvation. That's why Peter would say, because you believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. So pay attention. Are you following this? Luke's Gospel 24, verse 41 and 42. The Bible says in 52 that the disciples, they rejoice with great joy. You know what's great joy? Great joy means that they were loud about it. Hallelujah. They were loud about it. Years ago, myself and my friends, were in an hotel room. We were having a conference like this. So we will have a prayer meeting and we rejoice. And then somebody came and said, can you guys behave? My friend said, that's exactly what we're doing. We are behaving ourselves. Then I told the man, I said, we paid for our character, so this is our character. I was younger then, so I was a rascal. But you see, it's a proof. In John 15, 11, Jesus spoke about joy. He said, no man can take it from you. Hallelujah. Your boss, who is making things difficult for you in your office, cannot take it from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those who want to make you sad, they can't do it. Because your joy is full of glory. Did you hear what I'm saying? Your joy is full of glory. Your joy is full of glory. You know, when things are going wrong, in the sense realm, you like people who come and tell you, sorry. Some guys are just like that. They know how to mourn. The believers are that they are, it's like a gift. You will think those are the people that you need. It's true. It happened. So you know what? I was sacked yesterday. Yes! Oh! I'm coming to your house now. And he comes. Is you, eh? This world. I remember one brother too in my church. He had worked in that office for 16 years. That's how they sacked him. But don't worry. Don't worry. All is well. You think that's your friend? That's not your friend. Jesus said, in this world, there are tribulations and trials. But in me, you have peace. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. James said, brethren, count it all joy. When you come against trials, count it all joy. He didn't say it is, he didn't say the trial is joyful. He said, but you will choose to count it all joy. So the brother that is in faith is not the one that comes to shake your head. He's the one that says, come, let us rejoice over this. Let us rejoice in spite of this. That is Christianity. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Say joy.
Joy.
And rejoicing.
Rejoice.
Is our lifestyle. Say it's our lifestyle. That is how we comfort one another. That's how we communicate. Oh no, you didn't get that. Say that is how we communicate. Imagine someone calls you. He says, you know something? I just had a flat tire. I said, glory to God! Woo! I said, a flat tire. The Bible says, rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the world, no, don't whistle. Don't whistle, please. That's not rejoicing. That is worldly. It's not a football pitch. Now, there's some people think that's the Holy Ghost. No. Jesus was not whistling. It is Paul. Now wait. You know, joy is not a move. It's not something we do when the Spirit of God takes hold of you and then it begins to squeeze your head. Oh yeah, rejoice, rejoice. No. Joy is already the atmosphere of your spirit. It's the atmosphere of your spirit already. Wait for this. So, Jesus in John 16:20, John 16:21, John 16:22, John 16:24, he kept talking about joy, rejoicing, joy, rejoicing, joy, rejoicing, joy, rejoicing. So much. John 17:13. Imagine, joy, joy, joy. Have you gone to some church services? Everybody files in like this. Brethren, look at your life. Are you sober for the kingdom? You want us to be sober? When we are sober, we are drunk in the spirit. That's when we are serious looking. You know, when somebody means business in the world, say, where are these people? Say they're here. Say, that man is serious. In the spirit, when we are ready for business, that's when we are rejoicing. When we mean business. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Just wait. A few more minutes. So, rejoicing. Look at Acts 8, verse 8. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ. And there was joy in the whole city. In the whole city. I thought when you preach Christ, you mean, see salvation. See salvation. See salvation. The Bible says there was joy in the city. Sit down, we're not there yet. In the whole city. That means a whole city. How do you know people receive the gospel? You open their house, they are rejoicing. What's happening here? Say, we are all saved. That's what happened. So this is the proof, yeah? Joy. Down the whole road, everybody's rejoicing. What's going on here? Say, the gospel has just been preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't rejoice in your church, leave. Christ is not there. Every service, you are going home like this. What's happening? We are broken today. Say, we are broken. Who is going to mend you after? Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wait. Look at Acts 13 verse 52. Wow, we're wrong now. It says, the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost and with joy. After they had been persecuted, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with joy. Acts 15:3, as they heard the good news of the miraculous, the Bible says again, they rejoiced. Romans 14:17, righteousness,
peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul. Now, quickly look at the book. Then we start to practice what we're talking about. In the book of Philippians, Paul mentioned joy so much. Philippians 1:4, Philippians 1:25, Philippians 2:2, Philippians 2:29, Philippians 4:1. A single letter. Joy. Share with joy. Enjoy. In fact, in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice. Again, I say. So that means, as you want to sit down, he says, again. I know you went to school. What is again? Wait. 5 more minutes. 10 more minutes. Just please. Just wait. I want to explain it to you. It's not a mysterious thing. Some people are putting their hands in their pocket. With all these verses, you are still frowning. Even God cannot change you. That's it. I was born that way. I'm like this. When I was in secondary school, when I'm with some seniors, I'll just frown. So a senior called me. Said, I know you can't come here. Why are you frowning? He said, that's how I am, naturally. He said, okay. He said, follow me. He said, I'm going to make your life miserable. You like to look like a miserable person, have you? I'll make your life miserable. He punished me for about 5 hours. He said, now, start to laugh. I said, so I said, I was born that way. You know, they will be frowning in church. Then they will not have comedy. They will be laughing. See your life. They are talking about fiction. You are laughing. We are talking reality. You are frowning. Obey simple instructions. I said 10 minutes. I've removed 5 marks from all your marks. I have professors here. They'll tell me I'm right. No, 10 marks. You know, when I remove 10 marks from your mark, as I'm marking your speech, that's a lot though. Okay. So, look at all the scriptures. There's so much joy in Christ. He says, if there is test, rejoice. If there's persecution, rejoice. If you pray, rejoice. If you have a need, rejoice. He said, you know what? Even if there's nothing, just rejoice. So there's so much there, you cannot escape rejoicing in the Bible. You open your sin with joy. Brother, obey now. What do you need? You want Jesus to come to you and say, rejoice, rejoice. Hallelujah. It's our nature. It's our nature. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Quickly. What does he say? 1 Thessalonians 5:16.
Wait.
Now wait, sit down. A few more minutes.
You rejoice in an action. You don't rejoice in your mind. Say, don't worry, it's between me and God. Shut up. You rejoice in an action. When you see joy, you must see laughter. That is, God expects us to laugh all the time. Wait, yesterday, you cannot say you believe God and you are not laughing. You know, there's nothing called silent faith. Say, you believe God? In my mind. No, you are actually in doubt. When you believe God, you know, I told you, Isaac means laughter. Laughter. Because that was an act of faith. What about looking at the devil eyeball and saying, you know what? Hold on. How long should we laugh at the devil? Wait. So wait. Rejoicing. Don't forget. There will be nobody giving you music for it. You know, Jesus now the keyboard is playing. He said, Jesus, rejoice. Say, say, kisi, kisi, kisi. Glory cloud is there. Oh yeah, that's it, that's it. Glory cloud is there. That's it. Glory cloud, glory cloud is there. Take a moment. Oh, you are not moving me. Move me, the glory cloud. No. Hallelujah. That joy is a function of your decision. You will release that joy from your spirit with words. With words. So there's laughter. There's also, we said, Jesus leaped. He leaped. He just went, whoop. I was just showing you something. So, you are going to practice joy for 20 minutes. Wait. Because of our time. But trust me, tomorrow we'll do more. Now, the Bible says, when the evil raged, and the people imagined the vain thing, the Bible says, he that sits. Wait. Wait.
Hallelujah. Things I'm going to tell you. Wait. Two things I'm going to tell you. Joy is from your spirit. You will use your words. Now think about an area of your life where you want to laugh at the devil tonight. Wait. One day, wait. You know, so you will practice rejoicing in a moment. Do you know we can pray together? You hold a brother's hand and you pray. We can also agree in rejoicing.
About this. Wait. Let's be intelligent. I want us to maximize this. Wait. We said joy. Wait. Listen. Wait. Hallelujah. Wait. Okay, one minute. Just one minute. Now, think about this. How long? Wait. Listen to this. How long did you complain about that problem? How long did you cry? It is time to repent. You cried all night. Now, you are going to use your faith, whether it's a sickness, a material need, your ministry, and then you're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Now sit down. You pray for me now. Sit down. I actually want us to practice something. We want to practice laughing for a long time. Wait. Sit down. Hallelujah. Laughter is not for what is funny. Laughter is for victory by faith. Do you know, that the first laughter that the Bible records is a laugh of victory? So sit down. Don't get up. We're going to do it together. You got joy here. Woo! Glory!